You have a copy of the Word of God, and turn with me, if you will, to two places. You have three in your outline. I want you just to turn to two. I'll reference the other one. You turn in the New Testament to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read verse 13 together. And then the main text will be found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. If you don't have a copy of the Word of God, feel free to take the one that's underneath the pew in front of you and use that. And if you do not have one at home, you can take it. We want that to be a gift to you. We want to be a help in every way, and I think the Word of God is the best help for mankind today. Help the Lord, for the Bible says the godly man ceaseth and the faithful fail. And in the context of that cry for help, the answer is found in the Word of God in verses 6 and 7 and Psalm 12. And so the best thing I can do for you today is not stand up here and give you some philosophy or share with you some opinion. The best thing I can do for you today, whether you're a child of God or not, is to preach the Word of God and to give you the truth from His throne. And so I would ask two things. One, receive the message, but don't shoot the messenger, okay? I don't write it, I just recite it, and I want to do my best to please the Lord. And I think that we are all blessed when we get to hear the Word of God. And so I hope that you'll open and follow along. Let's stand together, if you will, please. And we want to read 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and we'll read a little lengthy of a passage, and then we'll jump over and we'll read Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 together. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 1 says, "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine." I love that phrase, a good piece of flesh. Amen. Maybe it'll be In-N-Out Burger. I don't know. Maybe that's where they got it, a good piece of flesh. Verse 4. "And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel." And the Bible says in verse 5 of these men that Asaph was the chief. He was the music minister, if you will. Now look, if you will, at verse 7. "Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren." And here's what he wrote. "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." Seek the Lord and his what? And his what?
Strength.
And his strength. Seek his face sometimes. Seek his face continually. Verse 12. "Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God, and his judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations." Now, if you will, you skip over to verse 25 for the sake of time. "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods," little g. "For all the little g gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place." Do you see those words together? It says strength and gladness are in his presence. Now, if you will, if you want to turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I'd like us just to read our theme verse for the year, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let's read it out loud together. Ready? Begin. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I want to preach to you this morning a message I've entitled, "Obtaining the Strength That We Need." Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'd please help us. God, we are nothing without you. We know nothing without you. All the world would give us, Lord, and all the devil will sell us is lies. So what we need is the truth, and we know that your word is truth. So, Lord, we surrender ourselves to your Holy Spirit today, and we ask that you'd come and have liberty in our hearts and in this place. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would give us as your people understanding and that you would open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then, God, would you please help us when we leave here? Would you please give us wisdom to rightly apply it, that it would be ready to apply, that we would be quick to take the words of God and make them a part of our everyday thinking so that it would be a part of our everyday living. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Now, Lord, I need you more than anyone. I need you to help me to step aside and not be a hindrance to your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'd use me to be a blessing. I pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. For the last 2 weeks, we've carefully examined this matter of doing all things through Christ, knowing that no matter where you are or what you're doing for the Lord, it can all be done, according to the Bible, through his strength in Christ. Someone has well said, the task of you is never greater than the power behind you. And I like that, and I've been thinking about that the last several days. The task ahead of you is never greater than the power behind you. It was God that promised his people as they would journey through the wilderness and as they would journey into Canaan. He said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. That encourages me because that means that God's strength, we would say after singing what we've sang today, his almightiness or his power never runs out. So as long as I'm alive and as long as I'm doing what God wants me to do, I can be rest assured that as my days are long, so shall the strength and the power of God be in my life. And yet the challenge of every good minister is in helping people obtain the strength that God promises. Now, there was a time in King David's life when it seemed like he had no more strength to carry on. In fact, like the power of life would have been sucked completely out of him. And the Bible says that it was a time when all of the people of Ziklag and all of their families had been taken away by the enemy. And it was basically all David's fault. And people were looking at David and they were casting doubt upon him. And they were having all kinds of things said about David. And David was genuinely down. And he was genuinely in distress. He was in a place where he could not go on. And so he sat down, and the Bible uses specific language in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. It says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, that may not sound like a whole lot to us, but when you look up what the word encouraged means, do you know what it means? It means to strengthen. David sat down when he had no strength to go on. David sat down when he didn't know what to say. David sat down, the Bible says, when he didn't know what to do or how it could possibly be done. How in the world, God, am I supposed to go and lead some expedition to get all of this back? How in the world? It just seems like it's all my fault. And somehow, in some way, David sat down and found the strength of Christ. He encouraged himself in the Lord. What did he do? How was that even possible? Well, when David penned our text, it was on the spectacular occasion that the priest had brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem from being in Obed-Edom's house. And David was praising the Lord for his power and the return of his presence to Israel once again and it being restored. So he wrote, then delivered this song to Asaph, his music minister, so that everybody could know how he obtained strength from God and how to maintain that strength. Now, many of us would say we know where the strength comes from. Probably every person in here would say, no, yeah, I know that God has all the strength that I need. And we know where it comes from. But sometimes I think we lack the information or perhaps the faith to obtain the strength. There's no questioning perhaps in here from every heart that you would say, no, the strength that I need is in God. Because he has all power. He has all strength. We would say that strength never runs out. We would say that it's always available. The problem is many of us don't have it. The problem is there are Christians who I don't think that they don't believe that strength and gladness are in his place. They just don't have it. Let me ask this. Do you really believe that strength and help comes from God alone? Do you really believe that? Well, let me ask it this way. What is it that you need that strength for? Now think about this. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Because I know this, I don't need God's strength to do nothing. I can do that all on my own. You get that? I don't need God's strength to lay on the couch. I don't need God's strength not to pick up this book. I don't need God's strength to exist as a roommate in my house with my family. I can do that all on my own. I don't need God's strength to be short and nasty. I don't need God's strength to be sarcastic. I can do that all on my own. I do not need God's strength to walk around and say things edgy in the flesh. So I could say there are some things, all the wrong things, or the nothings. I don't need God's strength for that. Well, then let me ask you a question. What do you need his strength for? What do you need it for? I do need his strength to do whatever he wants me to do. Amen. And the beautiful thing is that he is more than enough for me to do it. He's more than enough for us all. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens all of us. The question is, how do we obtain it? Well, I believe the Bible gives us several ways that we can obtain the strength we need on a daily basis. And it's right here in a man after God's own heart. And he penned it on the occasion that for him, you have to understand, this is the place in the previous chapter. This is the place where David just really has a time. This is when the Bible says, danced before the Lord. And his snub wife, Michal, was like, oh, I can't believe that you would do that. And she gets down on him for praising the Lord as the king. Like, he shouldn't be willing to open his heart and praise the Lord. And yet, according to the text in the previous chapter and in this one, it seems to be a high day for David. It seems to be a day when he is just ecstatic, like if the 49ers won the Super Bowl. That they would just, he would just be out of his mind. That's how big the day was. And you can only get that by what he writes and by the actions that he's displayed before. You get the understanding. You kind of get the idea that, man alive, I would not be here without God. And I'm so glad that he's back. And now Israel has a chance to have this strength that I have found. Let me give you several ways that David confesses as to how I can have and how you can have and how we as a church can have the strength of God daily to do everything and all things that God wants us to do through Christ. How do we obtain that strength? Well, first of all, he confesses that you got to seek the strength of God. You've got to pursue it. Look at verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. And then he tells you where to get it. Seek his face continually. Can we read verse 11 together? Ready? Begin. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Continually. That's David's words. Now, the word seek there, you're familiar with. It means to inquire or resort to. It means to seek with a demand. In fact, it means to ask without ceasing. The word inquire means to seek for truth. The word resort means a place frequented. Now, the reason I mention all those names, all those words, is because those words are scattered all over the pages of Scripture. And they remind us that the greatest endeavor of every Christian is prayer. Seek the Lord and his strength. Most of us would say, well, Pastor, that's a no-brainer. For a Christian to pray, that goes without saying. And yet, if it goes without saying, then more often it goes without doing. If we are not reminded of the necessity and of the mustness, if you'll allow me, of prayer, it probably would be even less than it already is. The fact that he has to say that to Jews who pray morning and noon and night is revelatory to me. It means that the people of God have always struggled with prayer. That means that the greatest thing that I could ever do as a Christian is to pray and to seek the face of the Lord. It was Andrew Murray that said, God's child can conquer anything by prayer. Is it any wonder then that Satan does his utmost to snatch that weapon from the Christian or to hinder him in the use of it? David said, listen, I just want you to know, here's what I did. Talk about encouraging or strengthening myself in the power and the might of God. I sought the strength of God. And he gives it by recommendation. Look, if you haven't tried it, seek the Lord. If you haven't tried it, seek the strength of God. And you'll find it in His face as you seek Him continually. How does one do that? I think, first of all, we have to begin at the beginning. And that is to, letter A, earnestly confess our weakness. How could I possibly seek the strength of God if I first don't realize I need it? God, I can't do this without you. I can't succeed in my family. I can't succeed at my job. God, I can't have this right future in the will of God if it's on my own. God, I need your strength. In Psalm 40 and verse 11, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able. Do you see that? I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth. What's he doing? God, I can't do it. He's saying, I can't do it because of my sin. I can't do it because I'm not looking right. I can't do it. I just can't do it on my own. I need you. I believe that before I can gain the strength of God or from God, that I must be able to confess mine own weakness. Somebody penned, I cannot do without thee. I cannot stand alone. I have no strength or goodness nor wisdom of mine own. But thou, beloved Savior, art all in all to me, and perfect strength in weakness is theirs who lean on thee. Man, if there's ever a guy who at a specific time leaned heavenly on God and his strength, it was David. David found that strength. Why? Because he was willing to say that I needed it. You go back and read in 1 Samuel and you look at what that must have looked like at Ziklag and how it all came down. And he just simply sat down and weeping said, God, I need you. Confessed his weakness. Secondly, we need to urgently call for his strength. Urgently call. The time to call on the Lord for strength is when you don't have any left. Normally, that's because something has depleted it all. And so we see this urgency over and over throughout the Psalms. Psalm 118, he wrote, I called upon the Lord, notice, in distress. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. Listen, do you know that today? Do you know that God is on your side? And how do I know that? Because he put Jesus on the cross for you. And especially, it doesn't matter whether you're saved or not. God's on your side and wants you to get saved today. But if you are saved, you belong to him. Oh, he's on your side, all right. He saved you and put your name in heaven. You're already seated in heavenly places, and he is on your side. Look, that's part of it. God, I need you. And in my distress, the Lord answered me, and he put me in a large place. That is, he gave me freedom to move about. He blessed my situation, and here was the resolve. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Psalm 116, he cries, then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, listen to the urgency. I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will then walk before the Lord and the land of the living. What is he saying? Because I was helped, I can do all things through Christ. It's there. It's right there. When I don't have it, God says, I do. Come and get it. Amen. You want the strength of God? Are you seeking it? Are you seeking the strength? Are you admitting and confessing that you are in weakness? Are you urgently asking and calling for the strength? Thirdly, he says, I think you need to frequently crave his presence. In verse 11, at the very end of it, it says, seek his face. And then notice the word, I kind of made fun of it, continually. The word continually. More than likely, most of us could testify to having a season of earnest prayer. But the key to David's strength rest in the word continually. It means consistently or constantly. Paul would write it this way, therefore, pray without ceasing. It is being in the continuous state of need, of asking the Father who is on your side for your need and for your strength in this context. 1 Chronicles 16:27, glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. You see, since I know where it is, where is joy? Where is gladness? Where is strength? Where are the pleasures of God forevermore? It's with Him. It's at His throne. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that because of Christ, I can boldly come unto that throne and I could obtain what I need in the name of Christ. You see, David says, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. If joy and strength are in the presence of God, then that's where we've got to go. I've got to seek the Lord continually because the battle is daily, is it not? The battle for power, the battle for strength, the battle for gladness, the battle for joy is every single day. And it's only found, according to the book, at the place where God sits. I want the strength of God. I need to seek the strength of God. Secondly, I need to remember the works of God. Now, this is pretty basic and systematic, but that's normally where Christians, all of us, fail, is in the basic and systematic things. Because we don't normally do all of the right things consistently. We do some of the right things consistently, but the things that are truly necessary, that deplete our joy and our strength, we don't. And so God says here, look, it's not just about prayer. It's prayer and it's faith and works. What's the work? Well, part of it's remembering. Notice the next verse. Remember. What's it say to remember? Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servant, O children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God, and His judgments are in all of the earth. You see, part of gaining the strength from God that we need is from remembering His work. The word remember here means to keep in mind, or really to preserve the memory and to keep it sacred. The Bible says in Psalm 118 and verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. And I get it. Our strength is depleted when we're not keeping in mind all that God has already done. We're not remembering His works. Letter A, we've got to recall what He's done for others. Every victory God gave the people in Hebrews chapter 11 was given to them because of their faith in Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them, listen, that diligently seek Him. How is it that it says, by faith Abel, by faith Noah, by faith Moses, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith? How is it that possible? It's because they sought God, and they were quick to remember all that He's done. They simply believed that God had called them, and so they followed. Scripture bears witness to the fact that even if you're as tongue-tied as Moses, you can do all things through Christ. That even if you're as fearful and timid as Gideon, you can do it, Gideon. Even if you're bullied, then sold into slavery, put in prison like Joseph, you can still do all things through Christ. The fact remains that vital to God's will in your life is the ability to recall that you are not the first person ever to face uncertainty. That you're not the first and only person ever to face difficulty or neglect. And in order to obtain strength for that moment, you must be able to go back and say what God has done faithfully to people long before me, so that I know that my God is faithful, who will not suffer me to be tempted above that I am able in this day, but will always make a way of escape so that I'll be able to bear it. Amen. I've got to be able to remember, oh yeah, God, you took care of Noah when you killed everybody else. Yeah, it was God that brought all the animals onto the ark. It was God that gave Noah the blueprints. It was God that sealed it with pitch. It was God that provided the ark of salvation. It was God that brought the animals, and it was God that saved Noah, and it was God, by the way, that saved you. That's the same almighty, unchangeable God of heaven, the God of ages. The God that we sing to. Now, when I forget what God has done, when I forget His works, listen, I therefore forget God. because I cannot separate his works from his person. They're one. In order to obtain strength for the moment that I need him, I've got to remember that God has always been faithful to everybody else. Secondly, I've got to recollect what he's done for me. You've got to recall what he's done for you. In Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah said it this way, in the midst of Israel being ransacked, in the midst of God's chastening rod on his people, this is what he said, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not." Here's the strength. "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And then this, listen to what he says. "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good to the man that he should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Now, you need to understand, this is Jeremiah. This is the man who was preaching to people saying, "Listen, you can do this. God's in control." And they threw him in a pit. They put him in prison. They persecuted him for trying to tell them that strength belongs with God. Some of them blamed him. And yet Jeremiah says, "Look, I don't care what happens to this nation. I don't care what happens with y'all. I don't care about your opinion. Here's when I have hope, that God is the portion of my strength." And he'll be that way to anybody that seeks him. Now, here's the important part about this. He says, "This I recall to my mind." He made it personal. Now watch. Detrimental to one's forward progress in the Christian life is the ability to look back and recall the goodness and graciousness of God in your personal life. Because listen, God's work in your life and God's work for you is just as legitimate as Daniel's. It's just as legitimate as Noah's or Peter. Do not discount the God of all the ages in your life as you may think, "Well, he was a greater God," or "Peter was just a greater saint." Peter was rotten to the core. Peter was impetuous. Peter was presumptuous. Sounds like a few people I know sit in here, including me. Oh, yeah. You see, it's one thing to look at Hebrews chapter 11 and say, "Man, that God is awesome." It's another thing to say, "My God is." It's one thing to say, "Oh, yeah, God showed up for Noah. God showed up for Daniel. God showed up for the three Hebrew boys. God showed up for Peter. God showed up for Paul." I can just tell you this. He showed up for you, too. Amen. And he put all of your sin and my sin on his own body so that we could be free. "Greater love hath no man ever showed than that he laid his life down for his friends." Yeah, the fact of the matter is, that's what I need to do. If I want the strength of God, I've got to recall what he's done in my life as well as remember what he's done in others' lives. And then thirdly, I need to rehearse them all over again. And he does. Look down at verse 19. "When we were but a few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he," that is God, "suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from the day to day, his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nations." Key to the strength that I have through Christ is my ability to remember. Psalm 100 verse 5, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Psalm 145 and verse 8, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." You see, one of the easiest things to do in life is to forget. It's to forget the God that has done marvelous works in your life. Oh, look, it's one thing to say, "Okay, I'm going to pray," but it's not just praying. Listen, don't get me wrong. Prayer is vital to your life as a Christian. But just as vital is when you get up from that prayer closet, when you walk away from that time with God and you go out and the devil's throwing those darts, it takes that shield of faith to know, to say, "Oh yeah, I remember. I remember my God. He's good and he's faithful and he loves me and he's putting me in this position because there's something that I don't see that's much bigger. So I'm just going to trust him. And I need your strength, God. Could I please have it right now? If I want to obtain the strength that God has for me to do all things, I must seek it. I've got to remember what he's done for others to have it. Then thirdly, I've got to be mindful of his promises to me. As he goes through verse 11, 12, and 13, he says it again in a little different way here. In verse 12, he says, look, remember his works. This is the physical doing of God. But he says in verse 15, I want you to be mindful always of his covenant. I want you to remember his promise, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even the covenant of which he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. You see, like the people of God from old, we daily exist in the promises of God through Christ. You and I exist today only because of the promises of God through Christ. When we die and go to heaven, our existence forever will only be according to the promises of God through Christ. Yea, the promises of God are in him, that is Christ, and in him, amen, the Bible says. I have and I am what I have and am only through Christ. Therefore, when I forget all that I am and I forget all that I have, I have no strength. I have no standing. I have no confidence. Tonight I'm going to preach a message in the evening service. What do you really know for sure? From 1 John chapter 5. Much of our defeat is due to our deficiency of our memory. I'm forever forgetting everything. I forget where I put my keys. If I put my keys back where they go, I forget where I put them. I forget where I put my wallet. I forget what my wife says. I say, you said this. No, I didn't say that. I'm pretty sure that's what you said. I did not say that. No, I did not say that. Okay. And I succumb. So my memory is not the best. And then she reminds me, you know, a dull pencil is better than a long memory. I huh? What? Oh, you're telling me to write down everything you say? I don't have time for that. Look, the fact of the matter is, that's where a lot of our problem rests, huh? Did you know some of the biggest problems you'll have in your marriage is when you forget that your wife or your husband actually does love you? Did you know that? Young people, did you know some of the biggest struggles that you'll have in your life as a child or a teenager will come because the devil has told you your parents don't love you? They don't care about you. They just care about themselves. And if you don't remember, it'll be to your detriment. And we say that all the time about practical things, but we don't say it enough about the spiritual things and the permanent things. The promises of God, by the way, are forever. Amen. They're in him, yea, and in him, amen, to the glory of God. You see, thinking on supposition, assumption, or worse, presumption, is to venture into a realm of the unknown, and that darkness soon darkens the skies so no light can be seen. The word of it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But I can venture away from that so far that I can't see those anymore. And I've allowed my mind and the blinders have come onto my mind so that I can't recall the things of God. Oh my goodness. That's why David sat down. It's because everything else around him that he could see was telling him, God's not in control and you're in a mess. And these people are going to kill you, and because of you, and all the blame and all the guilt. And then he just had to sit down. What did he do? He prayed. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. Did you know one of the greatest things that you can do this week to gain the strength of God is to stop and recall his promises to you? Remember. Remind. Be mindful. Let me give you a couple of things. Letter A, review them in brief. Verses 16 and 20, you would agree, are not exhaustive. They're not. They're a simple summary. They're not exhaustive. It's always helpful as a believer to have some kind of quick reference system, whether it's note cards or verse cards or 3x5, however you want to do it. Something that at a quick glance, I can be reminded of God's promises. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him give us all things freely? My grace is sufficient for thee. I can do all things through Christ, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And there are hundreds of more that you could very easily on the dashboard, on the mirror, on your desk, instead of having all these things that remind yourself of you, why don't you put some things in your life that remind yourself of God? That you could say, I know that thou art with me, and I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. All of those promises are real, but they're ineffective if we don't have them here. If we disconnect from what we know absolutely, then we're in trouble, because the devil is a liar. Yea, hath God said? God doth no. Isn't it interesting that the very first attack on mankind by the enemy was Satan telling us what God knows? I would say to him, who do you think you are telling me what God does or doesn't know? Now, think about that. So now Eve is being fed information from a nefarious source. And she believed it and plunged our entire race into sin, death, and destruction. Now, please do yourself a favor. And instead of accepting or arguing with Satan what he says God knows or doesn't know, why don't you just look to see what he does and what he wants you to know? And say, Satan, get thee behind me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You see, I've got to remember, I've got to review them in brief. Letter B, let me suggest that you revisit them often. I want the strength of God. I want to maintain it. Well, it's not like, okay, and this is unfortunately how far too many Christians live. Well, as long as I come to church on Sunday morning, I can get jacked up for Jesus, and that'll get me through 6 days. I'm sorry, but that's not going to happen. It's just not enough. I've got to revisit them often. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Look, if you haven't already established now by close to the third week in January, a Bible reading program or some kind of schedule for the year, today would be a good day to start it. Because hopefully by now you've established yourself, and in about another 3 weeks, if you stay with it, it will be a solid habit. It takes about 6 weeks to establish a habit. And if you just stay with it, you say, man, but I'm getting ready to come up on. I told Brother Scott today, I said, you know, I'm about 11 days ahead of schedule because there's some portions of scripture that you just keep, you eat up and you think, man, this is awesome and I can't get enough. And he said, well, that's when you thank God for numbers, because you'll slow down right there. Yeah, now I'm a little bit behind and now I got to labor through and start to catch up again. The fact of the matter is, I need to review them often. When you open the Bible, cherish the lessons that you've been taught and seek for the one God that God is teaching you presently. God, what do you have for me today? This morning I finished Genesis and Joseph says to his brothers, you know, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. I told Brother McCross and I said, you know, I had to step back from that, and I don't know if Joseph got it when he got to Egypt, but over the course of 30 years, he got it. And did you know, you may be going through something right now. You may have to go through something this week, and I don't know. And I don't know how long that may be. But you know what I told him? You know what for me, Brother Randy, was the principle that he had for me today? We can always say, you know, the Bible says God works all things together for good to them that love God. And that's a promise, by the way, and he does. And I believe that. But sometimes it requires me to hold on to that promise for 30 years while he's in prison, while he is in jail, while he's sold. It takes time for me to get to that point where I can say, you know, the devil meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. Glory to God, I made it by his strength. It takes time. Well, in order for me to last the time, I have to have strength. There's no doubt in my mind that Joseph and God visited every day for 13 years in jail. And it took him years to be able to look at his brothers and say, look, you guys don't have anything to fear. I knew that God was in control of this the whole time. Wow. What do you think he did? Oh, I think he knew exactly what God said and what he said he meant. And I think he never let anything come between him and his dreams. Letter C, we need to relate them to others. Verse 24 says, to declare his glory among the heathen. I love Psalm 77 and verse 12. I will meditate also of all thy work. And then it says, and talk of thy doings. You know, some of the greatest conversations that you could ever have. Let me just say this. The best, the most valuable, and the most helpful conversations that you can have with somebody are spiritual conversations. Conversations that revolve around what God has done or what he is currently doing. And by the way, he is currently doing. You may not think it, but did you know that God is working all the time? And he's working in your life all the time. And he wants to give you strength all the time. And sometimes we just don't take it. Speaking the promises of God to others strengthens your resolve to believe them yourself. When I meet with couples or I meet with somebody and the Lord puts on my heart one of his promises, did you know that I'm encouraged? I'm not the one going through the trial. But because I'm rehearsing the promise and the comfort of Scripture, it comforts me. And that's by design. The Word of God is meant to be spoken. It's meant to be heard. It's meant to be assimilated. And God says, look, if you want the strength, you've got to seek the strength. You've got to come to my throne. You've got to remember who I am and what I've done. And you need to recall that I've done all those things because of my promises. Now, in my own minute opinion, this last point is still as vital as the other three. Because, yes, these are important to obtaining the strength of God, but in order to maintain it, you've got to be prepared to give it all away. Number four, I've got to give away all the glory. If I obtain anything good, I know from James chapter 1 that it only came from God. Amen? Amen? Now, in order to maintain that, and in order to stay in a state of where I'm going to be mindful of all of it, I've got to be ready and prepared to say glory to God in the highest. I've got to be willing to give it away. Look at verse 28. The Bible says, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord, notice, glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. It's almost like David knows what he's doing. That he's writing this psalm to say, look, here's how you get it. Here's how I got it. And I'm encouraging you to do it. And now because of who God is, let's all praise and worship the Lord. Amen. He's rallying people to the God of all strength. He doesn't want one person to leave that congregation strengthless. Or without power. David was seen as a king in Israel, a great king in Israel, but unlike his predecessor Saul, he was quick to give credit and praise where it was due, and that was with God alone. He said, but be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so we will sing and praise thy power. God, when you give us strength, we're already ready. We're going to give you the glory for the victory. And by the way, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We've already learned that God has given us the victory. Many times we just don't assimilate it. God says, you need to be ready to give me the credit for it. One of the keys to obtaining strength from God is by giving him all the glory for what you're doing currently. What are you doing currently that God gives the glory for? Or are you taking the credit? Are you ready and prepared to give God the glory for what you'll do for him today? Are you ready and prepared for that thing that you may be facing at work or at school, this conversation that's getting ready to come up, this transition that's coming through our lives? Are we ready to say, Lord, We need your strength to do this, and we promise and we commit ourselves that you will get all the glory for it. We know that you work all things together for good. You know what God sees? That is what I believe God says is a perfect heart. And listen, God's eyes go to and fro about the whole earth, seeking a perfect heart to whom, listen, he can show himself strong through. You see, God wants to give you strength so that he'll get the glory, so that someone else will say, I want to praise that God. I want to serve that God. In order to do that, there's two things in mind, and then I'm done. First of all, you've got to resign yourself from the praise of people. You've got to resign yourself from the praise of people. When I was in the Air Force, I had what we affectionately called the I Love Me wall. And it was every accolade that I ever had, every patch that I ever received, and there was a story behind every patch, and I displayed them all because I wanted people to come in and say, wow, that guy's pretty important. Or he lives a pretty interesting life. Or, wow, look at all the accolades. And, wow, how did you accomplish that? And, wow, I won Airman of the Year. And people were like, how did you do that? I want to do that. And I was like, drinking in that pride. You know what the Bible says? Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. The follow-up to that is, but a faithful man who could find? Most men, that's what they do. They're not resigned to the praise of people. They'd rather receive it. They really want people to think well of them. They really want people to think, man, that person did it. Man, that if that person could do it, well, listen, the fact of the matter is I can only do it through Christ. And if that's the truth, then he ought to get all the glory. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 30, then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. This is Saul. Saul's kingdom's being stripped away. He's disobeyed God. Samuel comes in and says, sorry, kingdom's departed from you. Listen to how it is at the end of his reign, how selfish Saul is. Okay, I've sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of the people. Okay, yeah. I've sinned. False repentance was all in regret. And now do me a favor before you leave. Just make me a big deal before the people. And Samuel was like, look, you missed it. You should have been a big deal before God. And you were, he says, I'll paraphrase, when you were little in your own eyes. Then you got too big for your britches. You know, the Bible says in James 4, he gives grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. If I'm going to be ready and prepared to give the glory to God, I've got to resign myself that what I'm doing, I'm not doing for others. I'm doing for the glory of God. Let it be. I need to reflect the mind of Christ. Jesus did all that he did for the Father's sake, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus knew exactly who was going to get all the credit. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Man, that's all about... Man, I want to give glory to God because I can only do that when I reflect my Savior. Now, look, the fact of the matter is, every one of us in here need the strength of God on a daily basis. And now you know how David could sit down in the midst of a disaster at Ziklag and strengthen himself. He didn't do it by himself. The Bible says he did it in the Lord. It didn't say he picked up his own boots by his own bootstraps and said, man, bless God, let's go do this. And grabbed a hunk of hickory and just started beating heads. No, he didn't do that. He said, if I'm going to do this, it's only going to be by the power of God. And I need that. Are you seeking the strength from God? When's the last time you took time to meditate on his work of old or his work in you now? When do you consistently rehearse the promises of God so that you're not easily deceived by Satan? Can I encourage you this morning to think less of the power of things over you and more of the power of Christ in you? And be prepared to give God all the glory. And you can have a different day every day when you recall these things to your mind. Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace. And grace for grace. We thank you for the word of truth today, and we thank you for the spirit of truth that guides us to it. Now, Father, as we have been given this now by a testimony of a man named David. Lord, I pray that it would be our testimony, that we could take the Word of God, we could go back through this passage, and we could say, Lord, I'm seeking Your face today. And the next day, we could say, God, I'm seeking Your face today, because this is a different day, and sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. And God, I can't go through this day without You. Lord, we confess that many days we think that we can actually make it through a day without You, and then at the end of it, say thank You. And somehow that reveals our dependence. Yet, God, we all know in the quietness of this moment that everything that we have, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. We live, we breathe, we have our being in Christ. God, would You have mercy on us for not coming to You, for not recalling and remembering and being mindful, but God, especially for not giving You the glory. Help us, God, please, O God of heaven, help us and strengthen us today. Inspire us, O God, to live dependently on Your strength alone so that we could glorify our Father which is in heaven. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you may be here and you may say, Pastor, I don't even know God, the God of the Bible, and I don't know Christ. I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I would like to know. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand real quick and put it down? I'd like to pray for you. Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to know. Here's my hand. Real quick. Anybody like that? Just slip it up and put it down. Anybody? Christian, what do you need strength for? Could I urge you this morning? Would you just bow the knee somewhere in this auditorium today and ask God? Would you seek His face this morning? Personally. Ask Him for strength for what you need. For what you need to do through Christ and for Christ. Because I promise He's got plenty of power. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I've been struggling or I am struggling with my thoughts. I can't keep them on faith ground. And I want to ask God to help me. Help me with my mind and my thoughts to bring them into captivity and obedience to Christ. Would you pray for me? Anybody here like that? Just slip your hand up. Anybody at all? I haven't struggled. I'm just struggling in my thoughts. I see those hands. You can put them down. I'm just struggling with my faith in the God of heaven, and my thoughts are contrary to the promises of God. And I just want to ask for prayer today. I didn't raise my hand before, but I am now. Here's my hand. Anybody like that? Anybody else? All right. How many would say, Pastor, I need to seek the Lord's strength and His face more continually than I have been. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand real quick? I just want to pray for you. Anybody? I need to seek Him more continually than I have. You can put Him down. Thank you. Would you stand with me together with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Father, I want to close the service now with just a simple prayer and an invitation to Your people. God, we're so proud. And we think we know more than we do. We assume so much. And because of that, we forfeit so much more. And God, I pray this morning for those who said, man, I'm just struggling keeping my thoughts on faith's ground. And I want to make sure that I bring those thoughts into captivity and obedience to Christ so that I can do what He's called me to do through Christ. I pray that You'd strengthen them and comfort them by the promises of God. Lord, for others, for all of us really, especially those that raised their hand that said, I need the strength of God, and I need to seek His face more continually. God, I pray that we would not allow our flesh or the devil to discourage us from coming to Your throne. I pray that in the hour that we live each and every day, that we would seek Your face. We would acknowledge You in all of our ways, that You would direct our paths. We thank You for grace. We thank You for mercy. We thank You for giving us Your word. And we pray now that You'd bless it in our hearts richly. We ask that You'd help us to be faithful now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.